Well, as I already said, David Wise is here. So if you're not a church member, be ready to be asked at the door, why not? He's not known for his subtlety, is our moderator. Well, good morning, folks. Thanks to Ray for leading the service this morning. Thanks to Emma and the children for sculpting Psalm 23 for us so well. It was great, wasn't it, to see it mimed out on the stage. It's our family service today. It's a time for us all to stay together as one group. Next week, the children will, I think, return to their own Sunday club program. And the groans are, that's us, the rest of us, the groans. The groans are going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians in the time up to Christmas. But it's important, isn't it, for us to have these moments when we stay together, young and old alike, to hear what God says to us in the Bible. And that's what we're going to do this morning. But we're going to begin with a word on the OHP. And when you see the word, I want you to think, what's there in your mind straight away? Are you ready for the word? Yeah? Okay. We've played this game before a few times, but with different words. This is a word we haven't played this game with. Okay, sure, you ready? Okay. Okay. What do you think of when you think of God? Martin?
Father.
Father. Okay. That's a good answer. Do you think of God that he's a father, like a father? Lovely. Other answers that anyone's prepared to share with us? Creator. Was that your first thought, Joyce? Interesting. Creator of the whole earth. Fantastic. We're all such good theologians here, aren't we? You don't think so, Paul? or maybe you're not prepared to share what you thought of. Mysterious. That too is true, though, isn't it? The Bible often presents God as shrouded. You know, he's unapproachable. Mysterious. Other things that people thought of that you're prepared to share out loud with the rest of us. What is God like, Ray?
All powerful.
All powerful. That's right, isn't it? He is all powerful. It's an important question, isn't it? What is God like? And God himself has been kind enough to use different images and pictures which tell us a little bit like what he's like. What are some of the ways the Bible speaks about God? We've already had a few this morning. Martin mentioned a really important one, didn't he? The Bible often speaks of God as our Father. But what are some of the other ways the Bible speaks about God? Flick through the Bible.
Almighty.
Great. What else? What else does the Bible say about God? What are the pictures does the Bible use to describe God?
Judge.
Okay. David.
That's like the nursing mother.
A nursing mother. There's a beautiful image, isn't it? A nursing mother. We'll come on to look at that in more detail when we look at Thessalonians over the next few weeks. Other things, the way the Bible describes God?
Deliverer.
Deliverer. Fantastic. These are all great pictures. Jack, have you got one at the back?
Shepherd.
Exactly right. That's what we're looking at today, isn't it? There are all sorts of ways God is described as a king, isn't he? As a warrior, as a rock, as a fortress, as a rescuer, as a father. And all those pictures tell us different things about what God is like. And today we're going to think about God being a shepherd. There are lots of places in the Bible that talk about shepherds and about sheep. But the most well-known one is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. So we immediately start thinking about sheep. And I've Got a little photograph there of some sheep for you, just to remind us how cute they are and how stupid they are and all those other things we associate with sheep, except they're not actually that stupid, as I think we'll see. Sheep. Now, you can turn to Psalm 23 in the Church Bible if you want to do so, but I have on an overhead the slightly different version that the children use, so you may prefer just to follow it on the screen instead, although it is slightly different, as I say. In fact, although sometimes this is called the Shepherd Psalm, it's really not the Shepherd Psalm, is it? It's the Sheep's Psalm. Because it's not the shepherd who speaks in the psalm, it's the sheep. And so we're going to look at the psalm together to see what the sheep says about the shepherd. How does the sheep begin? What does the sheep say, first of all? Can you remember the first line? Fantastic, well remembered. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, the children in the church have learned a lot over the summer and been reminded a lot about David. Before he became king of Israel, what did David do? Becky, you tell me. What was he before he became king of Israel? Can you remember? A shepherd. Fantastic. Well remembered. Now, so David, because he was a shepherd, he would know the sort of work that was involved in keeping sheep, wouldn't he? He knows from first-hand personal experience just how much shepherds care for their sheep. And now David thinks about God as if David himself was a sheep. And so he says right at the start of this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." So let's have a look at the psalm to see what kind of a sheep is when the Lord is his or her shepherd. First of all, I think this sheep is a satisfied sheep. Because the Lord is my shepherd, what does the sheep say? I have everything I need. I'm satisfied. I'm content. And David actually describes it in different ways, doesn't he? He says, "He lets me rest in fields of green grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water." So the sheep enjoy all the rest that they need and all the shade that they need and all the pasture that they need, and all the refreshment that they need, and all the water that they need. When I was scouring the internet this week and came across a photograph from the Middle East of sheep resting beside a pool. Not a terribly good resolution on that photograph, I'm afraid, but you can see those sheep lying down by the water. And shepherds tell us that sheep don't lie down when they're worried. They don't lie down when they're hungry. So here we have well-fed sheep, well-watered sheep, contented sheep, satisfied sheep. They're not spooked. They're not anxious. They're not nervous. They're not looking over their shoulder to see what's going on. These sheep do not go without anything they need because they know that the shepherd looks after them. David himself was a shepherd, you see, wasn't he? And he knew that sheep could trust their shepherd in every situation. That when the sheep are hungry, the shepherd takes them to green pastures where they have plenty to eat. And when the sheep are thirsty, he leads them to a quiet stream where they can drink and be refreshed. And that, says David, is what God is like. That's the kind of shepherd that the Lord God is. I wonder whether you think people in our society, in our neighbourhood today, are satisfied, whether they're content. Do you think we're a content society? Many of the people we bump into are not satisfied, are they? They're looking forward to their next fancy holiday, or their next clever gadget, or their next better paid job, or their next more fulfilling relationship. And I wonder sometimes whether we Christians can be a little bit like that too. But here, we're reminded that the Lord's sheep are content, they're satisfied. Because here is a person, the sheep, whose satisfaction is in the shepherd and all that the shepherd provides. But this is more than just a satisfied sheep. This sheep is also what I'm calling here a supported sheep. What else does the sheep say about this shepherd? Here we go. He gives me new strength. He guides me in the right paths as he's promised. Well, the Bible version we use in the church says here, he restores my soul. And I guess that's probably more familiar to most of us. He restores my life, in other words. He restores me. And as I say, I've been finding out things about sheep this week, and I discovered that sometimes sheep roll over onto their back and they can't get up again. A little bit like some people. And that was my nan. You know, my nan used to sink into an armchair, and at the end of the evening she'd say, "Oh, I'm down, but I can't get up." And a sheep in that situation is called a cast sheep. Now, it happens mostly with short, stocky sheep who have heavy fleeces. No cheeky comments here, please. You know, not fat, just fluffy and all the rest of it. Or with pregnant sheep as well. And eventually, a sheep on its back, the circulation, because gases collect in its stomach, apparently, the circulation gets cut off to its leg, so it can't roll itself back over. It can't stand up again. And sheep in this position can get very distressed. And if it's hot, it'll only be a few hours before it's dead. Or it's at the mercy of any dogs or wolves that happen to be around. And that's partly, of course, why the shepherd regularly counts the sheep, to make sure none have become cast somewhere. And if the shepherd discovers a cast sheep, he will roll it back. He will restore it. And when it's back on its feet, it may need to be supported for a few minutes to make sure it's steady. And if the sheep is in a real bad way, it might not be able to walk, and the shepherd might have to massage its legs to get the circulation going again, or might have to carry it home on his shoulders, the way Jesus talks about in one of his parables. And that might be what David has in mind when he says that the Lord, his shepherd, gives me new strength. He restores my soul. David, like many of us perhaps, had been through periods where he'd been cast down, where he'd been distracted, perhaps even in despair, depressed, in danger. And yet he was confident that he was supported by the great shepherd who restores his soul. Doesn't just give me new strength, says David here. He guides me in the right paths, not the wrong paths. He guides me in the paths that lead me to places where there are good things. So he's a supported sheep. And in Bible lands, shepherds didn't use sheepdogs to guide the flock. They walked in front of the flock, and they called to their flock. They led their sheep in the right paths. And that's the picture here where this sheep speaks about being restored by the shepherd and guided by the shepherd. Well, we've learned that when the Lord is our shepherd and when we are his sheep, that we are satisfied sheep, we are supported sheep. Now,
What else does David say? He says that he is a safe sheep. What does the next part of the psalm say? Even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff protect me. He's aware that he's a safe sheep. Some Bible versions talk of the darkest valley here, or the valley of the shadow of death. Valleys were thought of as dangerous places. We tend to think about valleys as being nice places, but valleys in Bible times were thought of as dangerous places because wild animals like lions and wolves lived down in the valley. And if the valley is particularly narrow, it may well be that at certain times of the day, the sun doesn't come in and it's dark. And there are scary shadows in the valley, which might cause us to be afraid. And so here, then, in the psalm, we have a picture of a shepherd leading his sheep through a narrow valley. Again, very poor picture. You can have a look at these later on if you want, but here you can see the shepherd at the front leading the sheep through this very narrow, steep valley. And that's the image that we've got in the psalm. David is saying that even though he walks through the deepest, darkest valley, even the worst one of all, possibly, the valley of the shadow of death, even that valley, he will not be afraid because the shepherd is with him. Why is he not afraid? Well, he tells us, doesn't he? The shepherd has a rod and a staff. Two very important implements. Here I've got a picture of a shepherd boy. And you can see in one hand here, he's holding a sling. Looks like it's got a rock in it, ready to be, you know, held around and fired at a predator, perhaps. But in his other hand, he's holding a cudgel or a rod. Now then, what would the shepherd use the rod for? What was this for? I know that some of the children have been thinking about this over the summer. What would the shepherd use the rod for? Peter, do you know? Exactly right. Fighting off wolves and lions, any who might attack the sheep, any predators of the flock, and so on. But David also says in this psalm that the shepherd has not just a rod, but also a staff. And here's a picture just to remind us what a shepherd's staff or a shepherd's crook looks like. It's like a walking stick, isn't it? But it has a big hook at one end of it. Well, what was the staff for? What was the crook for? Do you know? Any thoughts? Okay, you enjoy that, don't you, Norman? You enjoy, yeah. Come back here, get back in line. Yes, exactly right, though. Again, it was used to guide and control the sheep. He might use it to touch the sheep, to keep them together. He might use the hooked end to pull a sheep out of a hard-to-reach spot. And if a sheep starts to wander away from the other sheep, the shepherd can use his crook, his staff, to guide it back to where it belongs. The thing is, you see, sheep can't take care of themselves. Some animals can take care of themselves very well. Sheep can't. They need someone to watch over them, to care for them, to protect them, to lead them and guide them. Sheep need someone. That's what shepherds do for their sheep. And that's what God does for us. Finally, what else is this sheep? It's a satisfied sheep. It's a supported sheep.
it's a safe sheep. And finally, it's a secure sheep. What else does David say? You prepare a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honest guest and fill my cup to the brim. I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live. Some readers of the Bible think that the picture changes here from shepherds and sheep to a host welcoming someone to a great banquet. And that's the way the children sculpted it for us on the stage this morning. Making them special by feel special by anointing them with oil and so on. Laying out a fantastic spread before them in their house. But it could be that shepherds and sheep are still in mind here in this final verse. Because we know, shepherds tell us, that they often have to prepare pasture for their sheep by checking it over, by removing hazards like weeds and poisonous plants. And of course, in a time when there are no chemical dips for sheep, shepherds would use a mixture of olive oil and spices to keep lice off a sheep's head. So the shepherd would anoint the sheep's head with oil, would protect its eyes so that it could see, and protect its nostrils so it could breathe. And so here, right at the end of the psalm, is a lovely picture of the sheep saying, I'm secure. Goodness and love will follow me, be with me all my life, and God's house will be my home as long as I live. I shall be with the shepherd. Sheep are secure when the shepherd is around. Well, finally, today, I want to take us back to the very start of the psalm. Do you remember the very first phrase? The Lord is my shepherd. I want to emphasize one important word in that phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not the word Lord, and it's not the word shepherd. It's the word my. The Lord is my shepherd. In fact, did you notice as we were going through just how personal this psalm is? I missed out a few when I checked it over, but all the bits in red are all the personal bits of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest. Me, you see? He gives me. He guides me as he has promised me. And so all the way through the psalm. He. It's personal. And that's important. We've spoken a lot recently, over the last year really, about the importance of church, about the importance of belonging to the church, of togetherness, of not seeing ourselves as spiritual lone rangers doing our own thing. And that's important. I'm not taking away from that. But that shouldn't detract from the fact that we, all of us, without exception, need a personal he relationship with the Lord. Belonging to the church, crucial though that is not the same as believing in the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Can I say that the Lord is my shepherd? Can you say that the Lord is your shepherd? When Jesus came, he spoke of himself, didn't he, as the good shepherd, the one who loved the sheep, the one who would give his life for the sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Notice that, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Is that true of me? Can I say that I know Jesus as my shepherd and that I follow him? Is that true of you this morning? Can you say, I mean, like really say, that Jesus is your shepherd, that you follow him? I heard a story once of two people reciting Psalm 23 in a competition. One was a trained actor, and he read the psalm beautifully, every word in place, managed to squeeze significance out of every single phrase. And people were flabbergasted at the end because they said, wow, he really knows Psalm 23. And then another person also read Psalm 23, not nearly as well, but everyone said at the end, wow, he really knows the shepherd. And so I ask everyone here this morning, not just whether you feel a part of this fellowship of God's people in this place, let's thank God if you do, not whether you understand the scriptures inside out, but do you know the shepherd? Do you know his love, his protection, the safety he gives you, the security he provides for you? Well, let's pray together before we sing our final song. Thank you, God, that you take care of us, just as a shepherd takes care of his sheep. You give us food and a safe place to sleep. You give us strength when we need it. You help us make good choices so we can do the things that you want us to do, leading us in the right paths as we follow you. Lord God, we thank you this morning that we don't have to be afraid because you watch over us all the time. You are so good to us, Lord, that we can't even take it all in. You love us now. You will love us forever. This morning, Lord, we want to thank you for that. And we want to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for being our good shepherd. Thank you for loving us and taking care of us. Most of all, we thank you for laying down your life for us so that we can have everlasting life in heaven with you. Amen.